All right, let's go into Zechariah chapter 5. This sixth division is a continuation and at the same time, Zechariah simply turns his eyes and looks at another direction. Let's read it in verse 1. Then I turned and looked, lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a flying roll. And he said unto me, What seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll. And the length thereof is 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof is 10 cubits. Now remember, this is a vision. So he can see anything in a vision. This is fine. So he lifted up his eyes, and he saw as a flying roll, or let's call this a roll, papyrus, scroll, rolled up. But when it's rolled up, you can't see the writings on it. So the fact is, it was flying, intimates that it would swiftly be revealed, come to pass. In verse 2, Zechariah's attention was drawn to the roll, and the first thing that his attention was called was the size of the roll. It was 60 foot long and 15 feet wide. That's a good size roll. I think this building here is 60 foot long and 45 foot wide. So it's a good size roll. And when I was reading this, my mind went to 1 Kings 6:3 along this same thought. The porch thereof before the temple of the house was 20 cubits, and the length thereof according to the breadth of the house, and 10 cubits was the breadth thereof before the house. The porch on the front of the temple was the exact size as this roll. Therefore, the porch there was an altar for which offerings were made. Now, let's look at another verse that's fitting in this, and it's 2 Chronicles 15:8. 2 Chronicles 8. And when Asa heard these words, and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which, am I reading the right thing? Yeah. Which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch. So we have a renewal of the altar of the Lord that was before the porch. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and all the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, and they fell to him out of Israel in abundance, and they saw that the Lord his God was with them. In these verses, the message is called the curse that goeth forth from the face of the whole earth. And we try to imagine the change that God has been showing Zechariah. So many blessings coming to Israel. And now, all of a sudden, we have a curse coming. And the only place to put a curse is on the altar of God. Where else could we put a curse? This is also the measurement of one of the cherubims and his outstretched wings. That's in 2 Chronicles 3, verse 11. The size of the wings of the cherubim. It reached from wall of the house to the other, and the other ring reached to the other wall. And this too shows the mercies of God in the midst of a curse because of the blood of Christ. Also, this is the measurement of the holy part of the tent that God had Moses pitch in the wilderness. There were two sections. The first holy part was that stood before the holies of holies, in which no man could enter but the high priest once a year. And the first part was the lampstands and the table of showbread and the altar of incense. Now, all of this, we know that without this, the judgment of a holy God would be poured out on his people. Nevertheless, the curse of the law must be dealt with. God cannot ignore a broken law. Broken law will always bring a curse. And there were 12 curses shouted from Mount Ebal. I'm not going to turn to all this. And the people shouted across there. And when they got through, they said, Amen. Therefore, they were responsible to God. before they can be blessed, all curse must be lifted. And we read in Galatians 3:10, to cursed is the man that hangeth upon a tree. For as many as were of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth, curses of everyone that contain not in the things which are written in the book of the law. Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. So this curse will go into every house and do judgment as it is rendered. Verses 5 and 6, then the angel that talked with me went forth and said unto me, lift up now thine eyes and what is this that goeth forth? And I said, what is it? And he said, it is an ephod that goeth forth. And he said, moreover, this is their resemblance of all the earth. Now this is the seventh vision now as we go into this. Now Zechariah sees another object and he didn't recognize it either. So he asked, what is it? And he was told that it was an ephod. And we might ask, well, what is an ephod? Well, an ephod is a dry measurement of a just balance. You might read Ezekiel 45, 10, and 11 for that. There's other verses that we could read concerning a just balance and what an ephod is. But in our measurement, it would be about 3 pecks and 3 pints, or almost a bushel. Now, Ruth worked all day for an ephod of barley. In Ruth 2:17, the children of Israel was allowed an omer of manna in Exodus 16:33-36. And we read in verse 36, it said, now an omer is a tenth part of an ephod. So the angel said, this is their resemblance through all the earth. This represents, now what we're seeing in this ephod represents the condition of the Jews that have been scattered throughout all the earth. James wrote to these end time letter to the 12 tribes which were scattered abroad concerning encouragement and the changes they needed to make before the coming of the Messiah. The Hebrew word here for resemblance means an eye. So we may say in this is how all the earth sees them. God called Israel to be shepherds, not farmers. He called them to produce, not being in the market, and not to produce for world trade as they have been. They're completely out of God's order in being merchantmen. When Israel were little, they raised food just for their own people, just for themselves. And when they became big, they adopted the ways of the heathens and became commercial. But God still says they're shepherds, and he hasn't changed his mind, not even a little bit. They're still shepherds. In verse 7 and 8, and behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead. And this is a woman that sits in the midst of the ephod. And he said, this is wickedness. And he cast it into the midst of the ephod. And he cast the weight of lead upon the mouth thereof. It seems as the lid of the container was of lead. When lifted, Zechariah could look in and see a woman sitting in the container. This large lead piece was a weight used for balance that would hold her captive. God demanded an honest weight over and over again in the scriptures, but it's been increased so that they could get more for their money. And he says, this is wickedness. This was cast into the container with her and brings the lead lid back on. In the last days, there will be a wicked one described in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we read there that he opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or all that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. For this is the mystery of iniquity, doth already work. Only he who now hinder will hinder until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed, from whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivousness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, and that they might all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. All of this that we read here will be cast into one pot and kept there until the Messiah returns, a pot of judgment. This will be all done the fullness of the Antichrist, and be put into this pot. Then in verses 9 to 11, the hand of Zerubbabel laid the foundation of this house. Let's see, am I in the right place? Yeah, I'm in the right place. His hand shall also finish it, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts. I already read that. I'm in the wrong place, aren't I?
9.
Huh?
Zechariah
5:9. I was reading in 4. I'm sorry. Yeah. Then lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women, and the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up the ephod between the earth and of heaven. Then said I unto the angel that talked with me, whither do these bear the ephod? And he said unto me, to build it a house in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established and set there upon her own base. Now we have two women. Women in Scripture speak of weakness, especially of religious systems that would be weak. These systems would pick the Jewish system of religion, wickedness, up and carry it to Shinar. Well, where's Shinar? Well, the first mention of Shinar is in Genesis 10:10, and it says, in the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Chaldea, in the land of Shinar. Now, this was a system that would raise man to a level with God. Therefore, he doesn't need God anymore. And this is the attitude of all religions of this world, that they don't need God. This is where Daniel and his friends were carried into captivity. We're reading Daniel 1:2. This is the same as Babylon. That represents the conglomeration of all religious systems gathered into one place. Now the women here, the woman speaks of the unity. 2 is a number of unity. And it speaks of the unity of this system. The winds in their wings speak of the power in which evil spirits will carry her. The stork is an unclean bird to the Jew. There are mentioned in Leviticus 11 as an abominable among the fowls, and they shall not be eaten, they are a nation. Now, as we see this, as we end this chapter, all religious Judaism will be lifted up as wickedness and set her on her own base. That is, put her in her proper place along with other religions of Babylon. In the first vision, we see the true Israel land and her base. Now, God is going to destroy all false religion, but it won't be destroyed until the leader of false religion is put down. And so Satan is the leader of false religion. He likes to turn people away from Christ where they can't see him. And this is what we're seeing, is God is going to bundle it all up, put it in a lead pot, and put the lid on it until Jesus comes to set up his kingdom.